Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schuch.
Always one of our favorite shows, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, and Patrick Ahern in this morning. Patrick, it is great to see you as usual.
It's great to be here. There was plenty of traffic coming on 3 this morning.
You were telling me. Usually Route 3 East, that's not
a big deal. I thought I was in on the Beltway coming on 3, you know, between, I live in the Idlewild area, and I was getting on the ramp there, coming down to... One comes off of 3, mm-hmm. and boy, it was jam-packed. So must be a lot of people in the area.
Wow.
I got to get out there and get those people to Riverside.
Yeah.
Right?
So if you're sitting in traffic, you should have things in your car that you can pass out and say, here's this. And
taken the Riverside truck with all our ads on it. But it's good to be here.
Good to be here. We have a lot to talk about this morning. Camelot through May 8th.
Yes, we got this week and 3 weeks. And, it's become something that people are really blown away by.
I certainly was.
You
sat in here, and this is how it always is. You sat in here for a couple times, and you never tell me, even off the air, hey, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And you did some things with Camelot that are just, it really makes Camelot, ties it into this area, ties it into history.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because I went thinking, Camelot, okay. Yeah.
Well, as most people do, and I'll be honest with you, Camelot has never been one of my favorite shows. I've seen it numerous times, and I always prepare myself because it's, you know, okay, this is like 3.5 hours, like
right.
Les Mis, you know. And so when we were trying to plan this season and figure out, you know, what are we going to do? Because we're not certain exactly when we're going to come out of this pandemic. I can't be spending a fortune on shows. So I was trying to pick smaller things to do. And this version of Camelot that was reconceived and reimagined in 2008, I believe it was a more streamlined production with a much smaller cast. And I thought, well, you got a great name like Camelot, and a mm-hmm. great story like Camelot, but a much more scaled down version that would be financially feasible for me to do, and also, you know, put people in the seats, because I know Camelot has a following. And it's the production, the runtime of the show itself is about 2 hours, which is perfect.
Yes.
And it focuses on the primary story, which is the love triangle between King Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot. And when I got the script and I opened to the first page, the introduction by the gentleman who did the reimagining, he speaks about how he wants you to be creative with this, that this is sort of like a roughed out version, and this is what we hand you, but we want you to go for it. And I thought, okay. And so, you know, I say this to our audiences, at Riverside, I always try to aspire to be the best we can be. And sometimes regional theaters can get sort of bogged down by, well, let's just pick a bunch of these shows and we'll just do the same old show, you know. And when I am approached with that, I kind of balk at it, because I think I don't want to just regurgitate, you know. I want to see if we can bring something new to it. So this version spoke to that. And I thought, well, what's going on in our world today? And how does that connect with the story of King Arthur? Because this is, you know, a story that's been around for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I thought about, the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur and this man who became king and never expected to be. But he took it on, and he was in pursuit of a better world. How do we make a better world? And I thought, sounds familiar, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Knights of the Round Table and their pursuit to fight for, you know, the ideals of freedom and hope and a future. And I thought, this is really cool because it sounds like what we are going through in our own country. And look what's happening in the Ukraine. So let's go from that premise. Yeah. and tie in so many of the principles of Camelot to the principles of what we still aspire to today. And then one night I was just thinking, and this light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, wait a minute, the Kennedy years in the White House were known as the Camelot years. So how do I get a little bit of that in there? And that's got American history.
Uh-huh.
And so I started doing a lot of research on what's out there with Kennedy, what kind of videos, maybe we'll do a whole projection kind of thing. And I found such a wealth of stuff out there, Ted. And there is a set of tapes, they're called the Jackie Kennedy Onassis tapes. And so I started listening to some of her interviews, and lo and behold, there's an interview that she did with Arthur Schlesinger for Life magazine. I believe it was 2 weeks after his burial, and she talked about his love for Camelot and how important it was to him and the connection to him. And she sort of she speaks a few of the lyrics from,
yes,
the song Camelot, and then she at the end says, you know, the Schlesinger says, do you think that these ideals will live on? And she says, sure they will, and there will either be great presidents and so on and so forth, but there'll never be, mm-hmm, another Camelot.
I got goosebumps and, when that came up.
Yeah. And I found that, and I found a way to tie it into,
yeah,
you know, in the top of the show, there is about an 8-minute video montage that goes from the terrible thing that happened to him to his great speeches to his burial at Arlington. And then, of course, you know what happens next, and I don't want to give it all away.
Yeah.
But it sets it up beautifully, and so many people who have been in have just been in awe of it. Matter of fact, I had a woman, we had a reviewer come down from Northern Virginia. I think he's a professor at Georgetown University, Mark Driesenstock, and he came down to review it for the Falls Church Sentinel Press and Maryland Theater Guide, and he just raved about the talent, the show, but the concept just blew him away, you,
yeah,
know. And a lady from Arlington read that review, and she was tied to the Kennedys somehow, and she bought tickets for she and some of her friends. She came to see the show at Riverside, and I met her after the show, and she just couldn't believe that, how did you come up with this idea, and what a great idea, and,
yeah,
why isn't there something in the Washington Post about this? I mean, this is, you know, the proximity and
everything.
And I said, well, you know, sometimes we are overlooked down here from the entertainment perspective because they don't consider us in the metropolitan region. She said, well, I'm writing to the Post. I'm writing, you know, and she did. She wrote to the editor, and she wrote to the theater critic, Peter Marks, and she sent me her letter to him and his response, and basically she said to him, you've got to see this show. It's just amazing. And she said, King Arthur has a line in the show that says, might is for right. So Mr. Marks, do what is right. Get yourself to Fredericksburg and see this show. And he responded to her, thank you so much for your report. I will see what I can do. So when, to me, Ted, that means so much because we're still, getting back to what I just said, I'm not just regurgitating.
Yeah.
I took a show that's tried and true and beloved, and somebody was so taken with it that they want to get the word out,
yeah,
about Riverside. And
that's great.
Sorry to go into that long dissertation, but that's what I love about what we do as creative people. So I hope everybody that's listening right now, if you haven't seen Camelot, please come over and enjoy this lovely production. Now, I will say that there has been controversy. I have, believe it or not, you know, I like to meet and greet at the end of the show and thank people for coming. About three or four times through the run of the show, I have been attacked, not physically, but people will come up to me and say they were not, they thought that I had ruined Camelot, that why pull Kennedy into this? And then they start taking these different shots at Kennedy, and I said, listen, this has nothing to do with politics. Has to do with American history.
Yeah, and because it's always referred to.
Trying to be creative and tie it to this period of time in Camelot. And, you know, John F. Kennedy was our first modern-day president to be assassinated. He did have a direct correlation to Camelot. Matter of fact, he went to college with Alan J. Lerner, the composer. That's all I'm doing. And but, you know, it's pretty cool that you can do something on the stage and it can provoke that kind of thought and provoke some controversy and discussion. Why not?
You look in history, history books refer to the Kennedy years as Camelot. You didn't invent that.
No,
I
didn't.
You're just playing off
of that. I didn't make it up.
you've answered some of my questions, but we got a lot more about this just because you do some things, and we'll talk about that. Camelot at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through May 8th, riversidedt.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern here this morning, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. Camelot here through May 8th, and it's Nonsense beginning May 18th, and we will definitely talk about that in a few minutes. Well, you answered one of my questions, Patrick, just about how you as far as being able to make changes like you did in the opening and the tying in, the creativity. The stage itself gets you, and the first thing, and you have actually really a personal tie to this. First thing that I noticed was the cherry blossoms.
Yes.
And the branches came from your yard.
They did. But when we had that storm the first week of January, it was around January 3rd, I believe it was, and I had lost power for almost 5 days. A tree in my backyard, not the whole tree, but a section of the tree came down. And I thought, oh, darn it. And so it sat there, and the neighborhood said there would be a company coming through to, you know, take them out and do whatever. But it sat there for a bit, and then I thought, wait a minute, part of the concept for the set is to have the cherry blossom, so I wonder if they could use this, at least the base of the tree and the branches. And so I spoke to Will O'Donnell, our technical director and master carpenter, and he said, yeah, I think we could, let me come over and take a look at it. So he did, and he says, yeah, we'll come back with a truck and get it. And they took it over to the scene shop, and they dried it out, and then they treated it. And then this gentleman, Riley, who works in our scene shop with Will, he's his assistant, and he also does a lot of the crew jobs as well. Riley painstakingly took a lot of time and made the cherry blossoms, you know,
they
the fake cherry blossoms.
They look, and even up close, they look real.
Oh, yeah, and put them on the trees. So it's just, it's really beautiful to see the one tree hanging and the one tree, you know, that stands tall in the background. But, it's really, really pretty cool. And, you know, 5 weeks into the run of the show, Ted, I'm sure many people have heard from audience members, so I don't mind giving away the surprise, but the set is a recreation of the Eternal Flame, where John F. Kennedy is buried, and it's just a lovely setting for doing the show. And,
oh, it is.
We accessorize it with different things to give it the feel of being in the inside of the castle, the outside of the castle, and it works beautifully. Frank Foster, our scenic designer, is brilliant. He's just, I mean, he did the Bright Star set and so many of the great sets that we've had at Riverside. Frank is just a special person. He's a great artist.
This is one of the great sets because it's you're recreating something that's just right up the road.
Right up the road, not even 50 miles. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I I want to get up there again and you know, check it out. We should have taken the cast up, but you know, there's, you're always limited with time and everything. But
that thing called traffic.
Yeah,
that you encountered this morning.
Yeah, but yeah. So it's really pretty cool, and you know, I keep forgetting to bring it in, but I have to bring it into the, to show the cast. I spoke to them at the beginning of the rehearsal process, but I have a bit of a connection to the Kennedys. My dad was in politics and local government in central New York. And in 1968, when Robert Kennedy was running for president, mm-hmm. he came to our hometown of Cortland, New York, and spoke on the steps of our courthouse. And my dad, being in government, was up there with state senators and Robert Kennedy. And I have this great picture of my dad standing right next to Robert Kennedy speaking. And I'm anxious to bring it in before the run of the show is over to show the cast. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's interesting, because and people have those stories. My wife has a story of growing up in McLean, and she went to school with some of the Kennedys went to the Kennedys' house for a birthday party, and John F. Kennedy was there.
Isn't that cool?
And there are those kinds of things. A lot of people do have connections. Things were a little more open back then, and a lot of times you did more things than you can now.
Yeah. No, I believe 4 or 5 years old when he was assassinated, but there's still those. I mean, I can easily bring back, you know, the being in front of the TV on the floor for days with my mother and father watching, you know, all the coverage of his everything leading up to his, you know, being at the rotunda, to the funeral, to the, you know, burial. It's vivid. I remember that. And so I think everybody has a little bit of a, you know, connection to that period of time. You know, whether whatever your politics is, it's still a human being that's been murdered and still a president of the United States. So I think everybody has some sort of a connection to that.
The thing that people will notice in this show is just the, and we saw it a few weeks ago when you were in and had a couple of the cast members, but just the cast, just what perfect casting.
Yeah, that's one thing I pride myself on. I've always had an eye for choosing the right people. It's not, you know, there's been two or three times where I hasn't been the situation, but for the most part, I think I'm always dead on. And I knew who I wanted as my King Arthur because Christopher Sanders, who has done, this is his third show with us now, he was Daddy Warbucks in Annie. I spoke to him about it, and he said it was a part that he had always wanted to do, and he had a connection to the show. Quinn Vogt Welch, who is, this is her fourth show with us now at Riverside, was my Christine when we did Phantom back in 2012, and then she did West Side Story, and brilliant as Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady. Mm-hmm. And so she had a long time ago said to me, if you ever do Camelot. So that was just one phone call to say, we're doing Camelot. And Travis Keith Battle, who is our Lancelot.
Boy, is he good.
He is just terrific, both as an actor and a voice that is just like gold.
Oh, it is. Yeah. He's so authentic because especially when he comes in and he's so brash.
Yeah, and people have remarked on what an entrance that is because you're not expecting
it. No, and sometimes people play a part, but he just, you just...
Yeah.
And then you can see, and then there's sort of a change in sort of how he is on stage, and he just is flawless.
He's great. He's absolutely great in sense of humor through the character, and the ensemble is terrific in the show. Everybody on that stage is played leading roles, and so they bring so much depth to the ensemble. with only 13 people in the cast. And then the young man who plays Mordred, Michael Goldtree.
He catches you because you're not expecting. You aren't expecting him all of a sudden.
You're not expecting it. And I think a lot of people have said to me, he steals the show. He runs away with the show.
He's so angry.
Well, he is such a fine, he's a dancer, terrific dancer, but he's a real, true triple threat.
Yeah.
He can sing like there's no tomorrow. He can dance and he can act, and he's a senior in high school.
No.
And I'm glad I found him. Because
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, I want you know, I'm trying to help him and guide him, and you know, I've had him. He's applied to several colleges that he's been accepted in their musical theater programs, and I'm trying to guide him because I want him to be in good hands because I think he's a rising talent.
Boy, he was good.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, here again, it's I'm always thinking, you know, way in advance. Okay, we're going to do this, and then somebody will come to me and say, "Wow, okay, this will be the perfect person for this part." And I'm doing it now with planning our 25th anniversary season. I'm just, you know, okay, I want to do this. That checks off that box, and that checks off this box, and you kind of have to do it because. You know, talented people are in demand, and they are going to have jobs that are booked, you know, sometimes a year or two in advance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I reach out to these people and I say, I'm planning on doing X, Y, and Z, and I'd like you to do it. And at least I get on their calendars. And then they stay in touch with me and say, well, I've got this possible thing and that possible thing. But I'm very proud of the show Camelot, and of the cast is probably one of the finest I've worked with. Yeah.
May 8th will be here soon, so don't wait on this one.
No. 3 weeks is not a lot of time. 8 weeks is not a lot of time. You know, we feel as though we just started, and here we are going to wrap up soon. But we got to get things wrapped up so that the nuns in the convent can take over Riverside, St. Riverside. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. RiversideDT.com to find out all the ticket information and getting tickets for Camelot. And then Nonsense begins May 18th. And we will talk about that with Patrick Ahern, the producing artistic director at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern in this morning with the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford. Camelot through May 8th, Nonsense through May 18th. And Nonsense, Patrick, means that Sally Struthers returns. And if you go to you and I talked to her by phone last week, and that's going to be on the Riverside Facebook page. We had a great conversation.
Yeah. Well, Sally's production company is called Mother Struthers Productions. So,
I didn't know that.
I think that might have been born from. Well, I know so many of the showbiz family that she has. So many of these kids that she's worked with over the years that she's become like a mother to. I'm sure the name comes from that, but I think it also had to do with when she was the Mother Superior in Nonsense. She did the 20th, I think it was a 20th anniversary tour. She replaced Rue McClanahan from the Golden Girls in that tour. Sally will be the Mother Superior. Sister Mary Regina is her name, and I tell everybody, if you haven't seen Sally in a habit, you better race to get your tickets right now. Tickets are selling very well because apparently it's been done at Riverside before, probably 12, 13 years ago, and it was popular.
Okay.
And, of course, the combination of nuns and then Sally Struthers, I think that piques everybody's interest. So we have really strong pre-sale on the show, and I'm sure it'll just continue to, you know, grow. But Sally's love for physical comedy and her sense of humor, all of it is perfect for this part. Improvisation, which she's so great at, is just a strong element of this show. And she and the other, it's just five of them, five of the nuns, they're going to have a ball. And it's going to be fun for them and fun for the audience.
When the three of us were talking last week, and Sally mentioned Lucille Ball, and the more I thought about that, you do see when the improvisation and just a stage presence and the ability to take a moment, and kind of embellish it or even make it even funnier, is what Lucille Ball was so good at, and Sally really is. You put the two of those together. There really is a lot of similarities.
You know what people don't realize, you know, everybody knows Sally as Gloria Bunker, you know, little girl, you know, from All in the Family. She was 21 when she burst onto scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gloria was this sweet daddy's little girl kind of thing. And so that is what impresses on people, and they don't see beyond that. But Sally studied at the Pasadena Playhouse in Los Angeles, and she is a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
And that's what makes her funny, because her comedy comes out of the acting. It's not just funny to be funny. She finds a way to tie it to any of the characters that she's playing. And you know, there's many made for television series. I watched one that she had done years ago with Dennis Weaver, and
from the past.
And she played a battered wife, and she was no funny in that at all. So there's a lot of depth to her acting, and I think that people who are strong actors like that are the best comedians, because there's a base for it, and that's what Sally does. And you know, when we did Annie, and I think I spoke about this when we just did the interview with Sally, but one of my favorite moments, and it was hers, you know, I didn't give this to her, but there's a moment when she finds out that Daddy Warbucks wants to adopt Annie. And, you know, of course, Miss Hannigan would love to have all that money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when Grace Farrell, Daddy Warbucks' secretary, comes and she tells, you know, Miss Hannigan that, in this scene, Sally would excuse me for a second, and she would go into this vestibule, you know, that was part of her office and the entrance to the orphanage, and she would do about a minute of this. She didn't say a word. She just was, you know, emoting how angry and upset and just, I can't believe that this is happening to this little girl and not me. And it was the funniest thing ever. And then she would finish this outburst, compose herself, walk back into her office with Grace Farrell, like, you know, nothing ever happened. And yeah, she's one of my favorites. I have to say, when we did Hello Dolly 10 years ago, I can't believe it's been 10 years, but, just working with her on that role, and I would say to her, Sally, you remind me, your approach to Dolly is very similar to the great Shirley Booth. Remember Shirley Booth, who played Hazel?
Yeah, yeah.
And Shirley Booth did the movie of the play that Hello, Dolly is based on, called The Matchmaker, Thornton Wilder's Matchmaker. And Shirley Booth was just exquisite. And I said to Sally, a lot of your persona in this role reminds me of that. And she said, that's a great compliment, because Shirley Booth was such a fine actor. So Yeah,
I have seen Sally here when she's been in studio with us, with both young actors who it's very obvious she's mentoring them and is a great, she does that. I've seen her with even some older actors. And she helped everyone, and I've told the story many times, just personally. The very first time she came in, I was so nervous because I thought she's going to be bored with this, and she's never going to want to come back. And she, every time, couldn't be more down to earth and asking how you're doing. And I, one of the very first time I remember coming and seeing her, you had said she wants to see, you know, oh Sally, I told Sally you were going to be here. She wants you to come, you know, see her after the show.
Sally is what you see is what you get. She is
very authentic, as funny as she can be.
Yeah, yeah.
She still is just a really just a solid person.
She's a solid person, and you know, if she's your friend, there's no truer friend in the world. We have bonded and become very close friends, and but she's remarkable with everybody that she connects with, you know, from the young ones to you know, the kids to the adults that she works with, and she remembers names like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she, when she connects with people, she, you know, she will always say to me, I want to know who they are, I want to know their name. You know, she doesn't want it to be, like you said, not authentic. She wants it to be, and when she connects with you for that moment, she's there, and she doesn't forget it. And she's a remarkable human being. She's a lover of life. She's a lover of people, and she's a nurturer. She always finds a way to build somebody up.
Oh, and I have seen that. I can remember one time, and I don't remember who it was, but it was a young girl that was in here with, and you could just tell that this person was just really looking up to her, and she talked about how Sally will take her aside and work with her things, and you could tell when Sally would very authentically saying how brilliant this girl was, what she did, that she meant it,
and
to hear that kind of thing, I mean, she really is for future future people in the theater, really helping them.
She is a remarkable example. She sets a great standard and a great example for a lot of these younger people coming up in the business. And you know, even when she's doing interviews or she's introducing you to somebody, she is more concerned about promoting you than she is herself. And you know, so many stars and celebrities, it's me. But that's not Sally.
No.
And we're very lucky that she loves coming to Fredericksburg, and she will continue to love coming to Fredericksburg. And
I remember when she was first here, that must have been 10 years ago. If that was when she came 10 years ago.
2011.
You had taken her back to the airport, and then the next day was 4th of July at Ferry Farm.
Yes.
And so we were doing a live broadcast, and so you were going to do it. You were doing it there, but you were also going to be on the radio. So you came over, and before we went live, you had just gotten back from the airport.
Yeah.
And you were telling me how tired she was, and you were going to do the national anthem. And you said to me, Sally had a great time.
I think
she's going to come back.
Oh, yeah.
And she has just about yearly.
Yeah. Well, she you know, I've talked with her. A lot of the theaters that she's worked with, you know, she will say to me, I'll never go back there again. But we have a connection. She knows that I'm serious about what I do. And I'm respectful about the way we stage shows and we put shows up. And so she feels that she's in a comfortable space where she can trust that the process is going to be good, the show's going to be good, and her reputation will be stellar. And so that's number one. But then, you know, she's made such good friends in the area here. We have become good friends. So it's she's looking at the situation is, yes, it's a job, but also she looks forward to the time that she spends here, because, you know, there's stores that she loves going to, that she sees these people, you know, when she's in town, and she has a seamstress here that she loves that, that does a lot of her clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really nice that we've become like, you know, Algonquin Playhouse in Maine. Mm-hmm. Maine is one of her favorites. And she, I think she's been there now almost 20 years, you know, going back and forth. So I'm glad we're one of those places that she likes to return to.
And it's so great because you'll hear from people or run into people. I think I saw Sally Struthers downtown.
Yeah.
You did. She's in town.
Oh, she's here. Yeah. And she comes too, even sometimes when she's not doing a show, she'll come to see a show.
Yeah.
I remember she came in for the opening, surprised me for Bright Star. And she comes for visits. So it's not just about, well, I'll only go there when I'm got
doing
the
a show.
Job.
Yeah.
She really has, Fredericksburg is a favorite spot for her.
Yeah, yeah. So again, Nunsets begins May 18th.
May 18th, she'll be here. Well, she comes in, let's see, she arrives on the 30th of April, and she will start rehearsals on the 2nd of May. And we'll open on May 18th, and the show will run until July the 10th. Yeah. So, and the cast is terrific, too. We have, there's a woman that did the show with Sally, Sister Mary Amnesia. Her name is Jean Tinker. Jean was, there was actually a television series based on Nunsets, and Jean was in the television production. And so we're very excited to have her because this woman knows Nunsets like the back of her hand, and she's played the part of Sister Mary Amnesia so many different times. So I think audiences will not only love Sally, but they'll love Jean. And then the other three, Khadija Oni, who she's the best.
So good.
She was our Effie in Dreamgirls, and of course, more recently, she was Bloody Mary and South Pacific, and Sophia, the Oprah Winfrey role in The Color Purple, and she's powerhouse, both
she
vocally
is.
and as a persona. She will be playing Sister Mary Hubert, and she has a big, rousing gospel number in the show, so that'll be nice. And then we have a brand new person to us, Susan Gutierrez, who is from the West Coast, but she now lives in this area, and she's going to be a powerhouse as Sister Robert Ann. And then Sarah Anderson, who you know as she was Lucy in Bright Star. She was in The Marvelous Wanderettes. She was the one that she played the part of Susie. She was pregnant, and she was Rose in Meet Me in St. Louis, the oldest sister. Sarah's just
very
a wonderful talent, another triple threat. She can sing, she can dance, and she's a wonderful actor. She will be playing Sister Mary Leo. So it's five excellent performers in this show, of course, led by the incomparable Sally Struthers.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all need to laugh right now.
Yes.
And keep the laughter going. So this is that kind of a show. There's nothing offensive about it. What could be more fun than five sisters getting together and having a lot of fun and frolic? And it's going to be just a good time at Riverside.
RiversideDT.com. RiversideDT.com for information on Nunsets. Get those tickets, and also Camelot. Camelot through May 8th, and Nunsets begins May 18th. We'll wrap it up with Patrick Ahern when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern with the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts here this morning. Well, I really like these shows. You and I just sit around and we talk. I do have to mention, on a real personal note, that you're a great uncle now.
Well, you know, I've always been a good uncle.
Yes, but now you're
but
a great
now
one.
I'm a great uncle. No. You know, we think to ourselves, gosh, will I ever get to be this age or that age? Yeah. I can't imagine myself this age. I never imagined myself as a great uncle, but I have the cutest little baby girl that has come into my life, my niece, Caitlin. Dodd Anderson has had a baby last Wednesday, 6 pounds, 5 ounces. And believe it or not, Ted, she has named her Cosette, which is, you know,
but you would
like the original
Mis.
Production of Les Mis. And you know, as Caitlin says, it has nothing to do with Les Mis. She just loves the name. It's a French name. But Cosette, Kate Anderson is my new great niece.
And I've seen pictures. She immediately pulled out that phone.
She is so beautiful. And I can't tell you. It just puts life in perspective. You know, the continuation of life. And the generations, to know that she has a connection to my mom and my dad, and their life goes on, and just to hold her, Ted, is it's like I can't get enough of her. I just want to spend all my time with her. But you know, we're very lucky. We're very blessed to have this lovely young child person.
She was born about a week ago, and you have seen her most days. Now you were telling me about how you're not going to see her the weekend.
I know.
You're upset. Yeah. You know, you're uptight about that.
But you know, it's more about the quality time than the quantity time. So I'm hoping I get to see her this weekend. But life is good, you know. Life is good. God is good, and you know, it's nice when we go through all these trials and tribulations of life. We always come back to look at these miracles that do happen. So it's a journey, and this is a good journey to be on right now. I love it. Yeah,
I have seen you happy over a lot of these shows that have, and especially lately. I mean, Riverside's just been on a roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have never seen you as excited, and just the excitement in your eyes when you talk about little Cosette.
Well, you know, I have always, as even a little kid, I loved babies. I loved little kids. And I had a lot of great nurturers in my life. And I remember when I was a little kid, some of the people that were friends with my mom and dad would always talk to me with respect and would treat me as a little person, not as just a little child, little baby. And so I love that with children. I love to connect with them, and I just can't wait to connect with my great niece.
We will talk about this, I'm sure, much
more.
Oh,
yeah. I have to bring her into the studio.
Yeah, we have to do that. RiversideDT.com. Again, Camelot through May 8th. Nonsense begins May 18th, and we will talk much more with Patrick Ahern. Patrick, thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.